Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
When I read the Bible, I come away with a great appreciation for people like the Apostle Paul. You think about the work that he had to do, the fact that God gave him a mission to accomplish, and as the Apostle Paul went to place to place, he often found himself incarcerated. For instance, as he went to Philippi and he preached the gospel there, after having cast the spirit of divination out of this young lady, he was then, along with Silas, put in the inner prison and put in stocks. So think further about Paul, and I think about how when he went to Jerusalem and he had a contribution for the needy saints, a very large sum of money, and as he arrived in Jerusalem and as he went into the temple area, in Acts 21, Paul was arrested, and we know that for at least 2 years, Paul was imprisoned. And you think about the loss of his freedom. I don't know about you, but I'm a very independent person. I like to be able to go where I want to go. I like to be able to do what I want to do. If I want to go visit someone, I want to be able to have the freedom to go. I wouldn't want to be shackled. I wouldn't want to be a slave. I wouldn't want to be owned by someone. I prize the freedom which I enjoy. Freedom is precious to man. In fact, our country was founded upon the idea of freedom. In fact, the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution are referred to as the Bill of Rights. And when you start looking at the Bill of Rights, I read them one by one this past week, and you look at them, for instance, Congress shall make no law establishing religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The reason why you and I enjoy privileges which other countries do not enjoy is because our forefathers said we want people to be able to be free to assemble together and worship God in the manner in which they see fit. We do not have a government saying to us, you can't have singing, you can't have prayers here within our walls, within our buildings. That's what our forefathers saw to it that was provided. There was also the freedom of speech, where we can be able to say what we wish about our leaders. Sometimes we gripe and we complain, but at least we have that right. We have that freedom. Also within it is the freedom of the press, the fact that the press does not work for the government and publishes what it says to print. But the press is able to criticize the government as well. The freedom of assembly, where people can get together in peaceable means to be able to do any number of things. As you start looking at the freedoms, and I've just mentioned these four, but we prize these things. We treasure them and all the things that goes along with them. Our founding fathers took this very seriously. The words of Patrick Henry from March the 23rd, 1775, sum it up very well. He says, give me liberty or give me death. Many of those men who fought valiantly for our country fought because they wanted to be free and they wanted us to be free, their descendants. And if you start looking at the brave men and women who have served our country in a number of different ways, you understand how seriously some people take. For instance, just in World War II, 405,399 U.S. citizens lost their lives fighting so that you and I would not tonight be under Nazi occupation. I know some people may not think so, but if you consider the Civil War, which in many ways was about liberty and about freedom, 605,000 plus lost their lives in that battle. And even up until this past Friday morning, the published statistics by our government In both Iraq and Afghanistan, 4,320 people have lost their lives trying to preserve the freedom that we enjoy. The reason why I bring this up is because I want you to understand it's important in people's eyes. When I go to the Bible, I find out that there are many nations, many kings that took the children of Israel and put them under servitude, made them lose their freedom. For instance, in Exodus chapter 5, the children of Israel had gone down and very innocently at the invitation of Pharaoh to settle the land of Goshen. However, there was another Pharaoh, another king who arose who did not know Joseph or the great things that he did, and he enslaved the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham. And God raised up a great man by the name of Moses to go and to address Pharaoh. Here's what Exodus 5:2 says. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? I do not know the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go." Pharaoh says, "I'm not letting them go. I'm going to keep them in bondage." It was only after God brought a series of 10 plagues that Pharaoh understood that he was going to have to comply with God's will. If you go to the book of Judges, the book of Jeremiah, you find out, and the king, or children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 17 or 18 years. You go to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11, and it says they would serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Throughout the history of the children of Israel, it was one nation after another that they would be in servitude to. And those sometimes that didn't carry them away into captivity made them prisoners in their own land. In fact, if you read your New Testament carefully, you realize that Israel was an occupied nation when the New Testament was written. The Roman government was there. Jesus, though, promised freedom with truth. In John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus said, answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Now, the Jewish people were deluded and deceived in more than one way here. They were deceived and deluded because they thought they had never been in bondage. And in fact, their history reveals bondage to a number of different people. But second of all, they were deceived by not realizing that the sins which they were committing had grasped a hold on them and would not turn them loose. Well, that's going to bring me to what I would like to study with you for a few moments tonight. I've been studying the book of Galatians for my own personal Bible study. Not necessarily to prepare a sermon, not necessarily for a class, but just a time to be able to read and study the Bible. But every time I do that, I come across a passage of Scripture that I see and I say, there's a sermon in that. And the sermon that I saw is in the first part of Galatians chapter 5. And in fact, tonight's lesson is going to be taken from Galatians 5, verses 1 through 15. Really, primarily, verses 1 and 2, and then dropping down to about verses 13 through 15. And there's almost like a theme statement, if you will, found in verse 1. The best translation that I could find of this, the most accurate to the original text, was found in the New American Standard, and it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." It was for freedom. The very purpose that the Lord did all this was to set me free. It was to set you free. That's the reason why He went to the cross. That's the reason why He came to this earth to begin with. That's the reason why God sent the Bible through the apostles. to set us free. And I know some people say, but we're not in bondage. But we're not bound. We're a people of liberty. We're a people who live in a free country. And if we think that, we are just as deceived and deluded as the people of John chapter 8. There are three things that are found in this passage. The first one is found in the first verse, standing firm, standing fast. The second one is also found in verse 1, staying free. Don't be entangled again into a yoke of bondage. And then the third one is found in verses 13 through 15, and that is we are saved for service. Now let's explore these ideas here for just a minute. I'm going to use verse 1 again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand fast. When you look at those words, those are frequent words found throughout the Bible. A lot of different context. Same idea. For instance, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Do you realize those same words could be said to a group of fighting men about to go out into battle on the battlefield? Be strong. Be brave. Stand fast. Hold your ground. There needs to be an emphasis upon you and I holding our ground spiritually. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. He is our enemy. That's who we're fighting against. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs." Here's what he wanted to hear. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. One of the greatest problems the Lord's church has today in so many places is the fact that we're not standing together united. We're letting things drive wedges between us. We're letting false doctrine come in and sow the seeds of discord. We're letting people let their personalities get out of hand. And we're letting other things cause us to stand divided. But what Paul says is you need to stand fast in one spirit. If I'm going to go into battle, I don't want to go into battle with everybody who's got their own opinion, their own mind about things. I want to go into battle with every one of us thinking the same thing, with every one of us with the same goals. If we're going to fight the devil, we're going to have that same attitude. In Philippians 4 and verse 1, he goes on, he's talking about two ladies there, and he says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved." It's essential that we do so. And in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15, Paul would say, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." Folks, there's one thing about it. We have got to be immovable when it comes to this book here. The traditions that are revealed by God to us, for us to enjoy them, we've got to hold fast to them. One of the things that distresses me about our country right now is I think there's a lot of people who have never read the Constitution of the United States. There are a lot of people who do not realize that there were certain things inserted there by our forefathers because they could see with great vision into the future the kinds of challenges we were going to face, and they put them there. And there are people who are ignoring them today. There are people who are ignoring God's Word, and we can lose our freedom which we have in Christ. Stand fast. There's a need for people with courage, conviction, and this attitude that says, "I'm not going to be moved." Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You don't let people come in and treat you like children. To not be treated like a child, you've got to have some maturity. You don't allow a preacher come in and tell you, well, no, that, it doesn't say this. It doesn't say that. It says something else. In James 1, 6 through 8, he says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You find the man who vacillates, who goes back and forth, who's not strong, who's not firm. You can't put your confidence, you can't put your trust in him or what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. I have to preface this passage by explaining what's going on. Paul had changed his plans of coming to Corinth. And in stating the change in his plans, there are a lot of people who have begun to say that Paul was fickle. He couldn't make up his mind. He was a yes and no man. Yes, I'll do it today. No, I won't. He's just going to bounce from thing to thing. And Paul is going to respond to that by saying, therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me there should be a yes, yes, and a no, no. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Paul's saying, when it comes to what we teach, what we practice, it's not a yes and no, it's a yes. It's always the same thing. When I think about 1 Corinthians 15, I always think about the great resurrection chapter. I think about verses 50 through 57 where he discusses those people who get to go to heaven. And he talks about the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he comes to verse 58, and this is the crown, if you will, on the passage. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's saying, don't move. Stand fast. You want to enjoy your freedom? Hold on to it tenaciously. And now, if you go back to that verse 1 of Galatians 5, he says, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. It's possible for me to be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Now, in the context of the book of Galatians, it's obvious what's going on. There were people who had been taught out of the law of Moses. Paul had made it very clear in the last part of Galatians chapter 4 that there was a passing of the Old Testament system. And he even used an illustration of Sarah and Hagar. And he talked about the difference between the free woman and the woman of bondage. And it's obvious, anybody who's listening to Paul and saying this, is that it's possible for a person to want to go back to bondage. There were people whose purpose it was to try to get them back into bondage under the Old Testament law. Let me just refer you to a couple verses here. Verse 4 of chapter 2. He said, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. When I read people coming in by stealth to spy out our liberty, to bring us into bondage, I think about those terrorists. who are trying to sneak into our country and fly planes into buildings to take away the freedoms and the joys that we love in our country. There are spiritual terrorists who work for the devil, whose goal and purpose it is to try to bring us into bondage. In that case, they were trying to bring them into bondage of the law of Moses. Chapter 5, Paul says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." Paul says, you were going on the right track. You were doing the right things. Now somebody's got you off. You see, for us to maintain and stay free, we can't just stand firm. We've got to keep on the right pathway. Will the United States be a free country in 100 years? I don't know. I know if we continue to pursue some of the paths that we're on right now, we won't. But what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to understand that this can be infectious as well. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sadly, the physical world is consumed by those who want to dominate and rule others. And some of that exists in religion as well. You can go back to a previous generation of people like Adolf Hitler, whose purpose and goal in life was to dominate and rule the world. You have other men more recently, like Saddam Hussein, who wanted to start with a sort of the same pattern as Hitler, to invade the country of Kuwait, and if nobody said anything, we'll invade another country, and we'll build an empire. The Neo-Babylonian Empire was his goal and his quest. Do you realize that there are some people who are spiritually wanting to build their own personal empires? There are some people whose goal it is to try to get you to follow them. That's in the book of Galatians. While Judaism may not be our temptation today, and it is not, sin certainly can be a binder for us. I want you to listen to Peter as he writes. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him is he also brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled." Do you see those words? Same words. "In them and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the first," or the beginning. "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire." And then as Jesus puts it very simply again, John 8:34, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." When the writer of the book of Hebrews described it in Hebrews 12:1, he says, "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." The sin which so easily ensnares us. I don't know if some of you know about my childhood rearing. Not only was my father a car dealer, he was also a fur dealer. And I used to talk to trappers almost on a daily basis. Set traps myself. And I can remember setting traps, leg hole traps. You put bait around it. Animal comes, gets himself caught in there. Take him, take his fur, Sellersburg. There are things that would allure, bring that animal up there. There are things that tempt us. But what would happen, just like that animal would put his leg in that trap and that trap would close, can't get out. Sometimes we dabble in sin, and if we don't stay free, we're going to walk into a spiritual trap. Now that involves some very serious thought. In fact, I hope you contemplate some of the things that were discussed in some of these verses. But you drop down to verses 13 and following, and he's going to describe what a struggle with what freedom means and how people sometimes totally misunderstand. It's not a license to be selfish. When you say, I am free, that does not mean that I am free to treat you any way I want to get what I want. Many of the people in our country now have gotten the idea that that means I can exploit whoever I want to. It's a free country, and I can sue you for this, or I can sue you for that. I can mistreat you here. I can do whatever I want to get my way. Well, I want you to listen as verses 13 through 15 explain. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. You can choose to use your liberty for service or for selfishness. I can say I am free to help you. I am free to do good to you. Or I can say I am free to take advantage of you. Now, if we all get this idea, I am free to take advantage of whoever I want to, he says, beware lest you be consumed of one another. If the people within our country do not soon get the idea that we're killing ourselves by trying to take advantage of one another, then our country is going to suffer greatly for it. In the Lord's church, we've got to understand it's not about me. It's about what is good for the Lord's church. I have the freedom to be able to help you, to serve you. That's what this freedom is for. So many people have not grasped the greatness of the freedom which the Lord has provided. But you see, you can be free today. Jesus offers pardon and freedom from sin and its terrible effects. The Lord is holding out to us a pardon that says, I know you're in bondage to sin. I know that sin appears to have a hold on you, but I can set you free if you'll just let me. If you will just let me. I want to end with Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united in the likeness of His death, we shall certainly also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. The man who dies to his sins is buried with the Lord in baptism, raised to walk in a new life as a man who's been set free. Sin has a hold on you and you're not a Christian, come forward. We'll baptize you tonight. You'll be added to the Lord's body, His church. The great pleasures that'll go along with that. Free from sin.